If you'd stand with us, we're going to honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of the Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm glad He's still on the throne this month. No place in the Bible do we see that He's got off the throne. I'm glad He's on the throne. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. He says, ye forgotten the exhortation that speak to you as of the children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Thank you for standing this morning. I appreciate the teaching in Sunday school. Somebody say amen. Matter of fact, before I'm done, you're going to think that he and I have compared notes this morning. But I'm glad that the Spirit of God knows what this assembly needs in this hour. A lot of people think that a preacher just takes and picks out something to preach. I got a lot of outlines in my Bible. Matter of fact, I don't know how many I have. I'd say around 1,000. But Brother Lee, we need the outline of the Spirit of God on it for this hour. I don't know if you've ever thought about when you come to church that God has the day set for us. God has a meeting planned and set. And He's brought you here not by accident, but He's brought you here by providence and purpose, that He may instruct you and instruct me. As the preacher was preaching this morning, God reminded me about something that I owe Him. And so I'm glad that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. My God, thank the Lord for preaching this morning. Certainly, if you'll notice in the text of the reading, you'll see that there's a race set before us. In Hebrews 12 and 1, He said, let us run the race with patience, the race that's set before us. I want to preach on this simple thought this morning. The race down here. The race down here. I'm not talking about the one down at Talladega this morning. I'm not talking about the one out at Daytona Beach. The one at Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm talking about the race down here that you and I, by the grace of God, have been put on this track. And it's very important how we run this race. Matter of fact, you'll notice first of all, there are the patriarchs of the race. The Bible said we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you, when you just die, and that's not the end of the story. You and me that are saved, born again by the grace of God, we go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we're just not there playing harps, and we're just not there dusting off the street of gold. God's got His saints doing things. And this sort of gives us a hint of what saints are doing this morning. We see that we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Just finished up in Hebrews 11, the writer's talking about that great chapter of faith. He talked there about, Abel, and of Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham. And so now he goes right over in Hebrews 12 and he gets to talking about these patriarchs of the race. I want to say they are patriarchs of witness. Thank God there are some forefathers that have come down before you and I saying you can live by this book. And you can do the things the old time way. And it's still okay to serve and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all kids ain't went to hell this morning. There's still some people that love God. Every church in America ain't turned their back on the Lord. It's still some patriarchs of the faith that have served God and is a great witness in heavenly places. Now, the patriarchs of this race, I want to say they are patriarchs of witnessing. Thank God for people that have witnessed to us. Aren't you glad that you've looked at some people around here and they've not thrown the towel in? They're still serving God. Aren't you glad as a young boy came forward this morning and said he trusted Christ to be his Savior? Aren't you glad God's still saving those sinners? And boy, I'm glad one day God saved me, so now I am a witness. Amen. Not talking about Jehovah Witnesses. I'm talking about the Jehovah Witness. I'm glad the God of the Bible has a witness in our day and hour. The Bible says a great cloud of witness. I want to say these patriarchs not only are witnessing, but I would like to sort of stimulate your mind. Perhaps they are watching. Now, there are a lot of different takes on this verse and different views, and I don't care if you believe what I believe or not. But I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15, and verse number 10, I want to whet your appetite this morning, on these patriarchs of the race, not only are they witnessing, but suppose they are watching in Luke 15, and verse number 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. In the press, not talking about angels rejoicing, but there are, boy, I wish I felt like, my God, I wish my body would keep up with my spirit this morning. I would love to wrap this building and preach to some of you deadheads this morning. I mean, I'm sick and bad and got more life than most of you got health this morning. But honey, let me tell you, somebody's watching in on this thing. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says this, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Thank God, honey. I'm glad the Father and Son is rejoicing. But there's also a cloud of witness that's rejoicing over sinners that get saved. Little old Jimmy got saved. No doubt, maybe God reached over and told some of the patriarchs, said, hey, that little old boy, everybody give up home, said, I saved him this morning. And they's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Some of y'all need to get there and get in on some of that rejoicing. You look like you've been eating salt briars and gravel gravy for breakfast this morning. My God, there's joy in heaven. I believe the church ought to have some heaven in it. We ought to rejoice over sinners when they get saved. Somebody birthed in the family of God. It ought to stimulate our heart toward God in praise and worship and thank Him for saving somebody like us. Patriarchs of our faith, not only their witness, but their watch. I ask you, I wonder what they are seeing this morning. My God, sometimes I think some of them old-timers are saying, Brother Lee, it don't matter if they're looking at you cross-eyed or not. Boy, preach! Preacher! Preach! Just keep on preaching! Preacher! Preach! Just keep on singing! Singer, sing! Keep on praying, prayer warriors, pray! God, the balcony of heaven's getting in on what's going on in the church. So he said a great cloud of witness. My goodness, these patriarchs of the race, not only they're witnessing and perhaps they're watching, but what about their waiting? The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, watch what the Bible says in verse number 37. It said they were stoned. They weren't smoking weed neither. Somebody say amen right there.
They were stoned. And they were sawn asunder. And they were tempted, were slain with a sword. And they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I'd like to see some of you princesses wrapped up in that garb coming down here this morning. Some of you girls took you 2 hours to get ready. Hey, it don't take you long to figure out what skin to pull out of the closet. Somebody say amen. You're preaching this morning. We're so blessed that we want to pout because everything just don't matter. I wish we'd get out of this world's view and go see what God thinks about the situation. They didn't have walk-in closets. They had a nail on the wall, hung their goat skin up. Poor old you. Poor old me. Boy, ain't we got it bad. Ain't it awful? I never seen it so bad. Matter of fact, if I don't hurry up and clean my closet out, I ain't gonna have nothing else to put in it. Somebody say amen. Said they was sown asunder. Said they were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Whom the world was not worthy. God said they had something the world wasn't even worthy to receive. You ought to thank God if you suffer persecution for being a Christian. He said the world ain't even worthy to have the persecution you got for serving Him. The world wasn't even worthy. They're the off-scour of the day. They're the scum of the earth, us Christians. But God said, honey, hey, we may not have nothing in this world, but we got everything under in the world to come. They're waiting. What are they waiting on, Pastor? Look what it says. Verse 39, all these having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. What are you talking about? They ain't received their reward yet. Now look in verse 40. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They're waiting on getting the prize we're going to get. You see, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to stand before God, not about our sins, but our service. And God said, they're waiting on you to get there, run the race, and run it strong, and run it the way God gave it to you, because there's some people not only witnessing, watching, they're waiting for you to get there. Can I preach to anybody this? Thank God, there's some people waiting on us to get there. Can you imagine those old patriarchs waiting on their crowns? My God, they're in the balconies of heaven looking at us, and we sitting around mully grubbing. Can't even raise our hands toward heaven. Can't even say amen when a preacher preaches. We get disturbed when somebody offends us. Hey, fooey on us this morning. Hey, without the God of glory, we'd be in hell this morning. They're waiting on us to get there. Lord, the old man won me to the Lord. I was out of the country when he died. My goodness, I can hardly wait to see him. My God, I don't know, just let me alone, but I just imagine seeing him. Brother Lee, he ain't walking like this no more with a German shot his legs out from under him. I believe he'll be jumping around like a hart. I believe he'll be running. Absolutely. I mean, he'll be shouting around in glory. When I walk in, I'm going to say, hell, thank you for coming by my trailer that Saturday. I will see Brother Monroe. We say, Brother Monroe, you're one of my heroes. And I sure hope, Monroe, that I ain't let you down a little bit in my preaching. Monroe, I hope I stood with the stuff, the right kind of Bible, the backbone, some guts in my crawl, and tell people that Jesus saves. Jesus saves this morning. Can you imagine some of your grandparents? You walk in glory. My Lord, the shout's going to be on. They waiting. They're going to receive the rewards. But ain't nobody going to receive the rewards till we all get there. Don't you know they are anticipating our arrival? You ever had anybody that you liked And they was coming to see you. You couldn't hardly wait. Oh, y'all know how it is for somebody to say they come in you don't like. Now, I'm talking about somebody that you really do like and you're anticipating them getting there to where you are. My goodness, you, when they pull up the driveway, it's just like your heart's lifted. Man, you're glad to show them what you've been doing. I mean, I'm proud of a little old barn that I got built. And company comes in, I say, Brother Lee, come, I want you to look at what I've been working on. Step inside, I will show you where I've been praying and meditating on the Word of God. Honey, when we get there, just leave me alone, but I believe it's a few saints of God. Say, come on in, preacher boy. I will show you where I've been praying. I will show you where I've been praising. I will show you what I've been seeing. Hey, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God, honey, for the patriarchs of our race. The patriarchs of our race. Number two, the people of the race. The Bible said, let us. I'm glad I'm in the people of the race. Let me tell you, you may be too ashamed to throw your hands up. But you hang around here for long, it's going to break in on you. It's okay to raise your hands up. It's okay to say amen. Ma'am, just cause your little spineless husband ain't got enough guts to say amen. It's okay if you say amen. He'd go to here and you say amen, maybe he'd get some guts. People of the race. I want you to notice peoples of opportunity. He said in verse number 1, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin would just so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race set before. Now I will say this morning. People of the race, we're people of opportunities. He put us on this track for a reason. Thank God He led us on. Boy, we are people of opportunity. Matter of fact, we've got the greatest opportunity in America this month. We've got the greatest opportunity of any Baptist people's ever had in this day and hour. We've got the greatest opportunities of any preacher that's ever preached in this hour. People of opportunity. What are you doing with the opportunities? By Him putting you on this track. Putting you in the race. People of the race. Now, people of opportunities. And I will say this. We are people of opposites. Quit looking around at how somebody else is running. See how you are running. You'll watch all them runners. Ain't nobody running around looking. They're looking out yonder. Our problem is we telling everybody else how to run it, but we ain't doing much ourselves. This thing is a race for individuals. Honey, we all gonna stand before God and give an account of ourselves. And boy, we are people of great opportunity, but we're people of opposites. Thank God you all ain't like me. Thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, no doubt there's some young'uns that really like your preacher, whether you do or not. In spite of yourself, some of them waves at the man of God when they sing. In spite of yourself, some of them hug the man of God on the doorstep. But I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, we are people of opposites. And hey, ain't nobody just alike. You have different problems, and I got different problems. And just because I drive a red car, and I drive a burgundy car, it don't mean you're right and I'm wrong. We're people of opposites. Matter of fact, we quit trying to fix everybody and just fix ourselves. We'd do a whole lot better. I mean, a whole lot better. I can tell you how to fix your marriage, but what am I doing about mine? I can tell you what to wear, but what am I wearing? I can tell you what to say, but what am I saying? Boy, we are people of opportunities, and we're people of opposites, and then we're people of opposition. He said, lay aside every weight. Every weight. Every weight. Now, you watch any runner. There ain't no big runners. Matter of fact, I put this suit on this morning. Where Miss Peggy? Miss Peggy, I said, I don't know what's wrong with them pants. Ain't nothing wrong with them pants. It's this dud I'm toting around. What I'm saying is this, these weights, it's hard for me. When I married Miss Renee, I was about 185 pounds. 30 years later, I'm about 245. I don't know how I do much on running. But I can tell you this, the more weight you get, the slower you get. You never seen a marathon runner got him a sack of concrete up on his shoulder and a concrete block in his hand and trying to run a race. That's the way a lot of God's people are. Got a lot of weights on them. A lot of weights from the world. They're trying to be something that God never intended them to be. They're out there running a whirlwind, and when they catch it, they ain't got nothing. My goodness, they're out there with all these weights of the world, and it's heavy. And I can tell you what, honey, sin gets heavy on me. I mean, when I've disobeyed God, it is such a heaviness in my heart, such a heaviness in my spirit. I cannot run that race with them weights on my shoulder. I got to get it off. I've got to mind Him. I've got to obey Him. I've got to be the young'un He wants me to be. I can't run it with all these weights on me. I run out to the world. I got to thank Brother Jerry, one of the best friends I've got in this church. Brother Jerry, people stole my fishing stuff down Lake Wee Dowling. I hope that rascal gets a fish hook in his ear. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, let him really, really, really remember about the stuff he stole from the man of God. I went out and bought me some new poles and new line, new reels and new lures. And they're out there in that suburban this morning. I opened it up to put my books in. I got to thanking Brother Tim. Boy, this old world loved me to go with them new poles and try them out this morning. But I got to think, could you imagine me out there casting on the deck of that boat this morning about 11 o'clock? And God telling me what I done come to down here to do and preach, and I've done disobeyed Him. My goodness, I'd be a-walking like this time I got back down to Bowden. Why, my boat would sink, my motor would blow up. I'd have 9 flat tires time I got back to Bowden. Somebody help me preach this morning. My God, I'm telling you, the weights that weight us down, when we get in disobedience, and we're disobeying the Lord, we get so heavy. We have odds between our brother and our sisters, and we bring in the house of God, and we wonder why we can't raise our hands, because they're too heavy to praise Him. Can't raise your hands with a load in each hand. Lord God, I wished I had body to preach this morning. My body ain't keeping up with my books this morning. The weights. Boy, ain't it amazing when we disobey God, what a heaviness we experience. Sinner in it all for to leave out of church house knowing you ought to give your heart to Jesus. Your heart's got so heavy in you. You know you can't run this race because your heart's too heavy. Oh, He said, lay aside these weights. These weights. What's weighting you down this morning? What's keeping you from running this race the way you ought to be running? Then not only does He talk about these weights, look what He says here in our Bible. Talking about the people of opposition. Not only every weight, but the sin which just so easily beset us. You better underline that. Yes, sir. Underline the word easily. Right. Oh, I've arrived, preacher. Yeah. Preacher, man, I have made it. Well, I'm glad you have, because I ain't. I'm still dealing with number one problem. K-E-N. He said the sin would just so easily beset. I can tell you some of your most subtle and most temptuous sins is the sins that you were doing before you came to Christ. It's like a fortress. Imagine a stack wall fence built with mortar. Everything's put together, Brother Tim, and laced together. And all of a sudden a car runs through the wall and it's patched. You know the weakest place in that fence is where it's patched. And that's exactly them old sins that love to come back and beset us. Encamp us and fence us around. I mean, has anybody ever been hooked on Copenhagen? Somebody say amen. My God in glory. I could dip four cans this morning. Give me an hour to spit. Somebody say amen. Lord, if He just let me get in my deer stand, Brother Randall, just let me load that lip up one good time and not bother me, what a blessing that'd be. About the time I'd load my lip, a church member would come up and say, "Hey, preacher, can I help you do anything?" I'd say, I hate to get caught. Does anybody hate to get caught? Oh, I hate to get caught. A big tall gal was pastoring in Alabama one time. I was a dipping. I'd quit smoking. I didn't like nobody smell cigarettes on a preacher. Somebody say amen. So I jumped out of the skillet right in the fire. Got me some Copenhagen. You know, just to get the crave off. Went to dipping a little bit. And Miss Renee had a new car and I hid that Copenhagen under the console. And so she got in, you know, and she said, told her husband, said, "Boy, wouldn't I look good driving this big old long town car?" She looked down and she said, "Oh my." And the girl's about 6'2". She's got arms on her long as Brother Zach. I mean, buddy, she is put together. She stood up and got that can of Copenhagen in front of all my people and kids and said, "Well, look at here what the preacher's doing." You ever wanted to slide under a car tire? The weights. I bet it's not a week in my life goes by, Brother Mike, it don't entice me, pull at me. And as a child of God, it does not mean that all those habits and cravings are gone. But it does mean that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If I submit to His authority, He takes the craving off of me and helps me by His goodness and His grace get rid of the sins that so doth easily beset us this morning. You young boys, you better listen to the man of God. You better watch looking at them dirty books and pictures and pornographic material on that internet. It'll put its hooks in you and all through your mind till you're an old man. It'll mash rewind and you'll see things you don't need to see. You young girls, better look what you're doing, where you're going, who you're hanging out with. We got some wonderful kids around here. And I can tell you this, if you bring them here, they're going to get preached to. You train them up now. Don't turn them to me when they're 16. Train them up now. You young girls and boys are dating. You better not trust yourself. This flesh will get you in trouble. Now don't back down on me now, Mom and Daddies. I need you preaching now. Stay off them backside of them dirt roads where you get in trouble at. Don't say, "Well, we'll just go park and listen to the radio." The radio won't be the message. Somebody gonna say, "Quit looking down and help me preach a while this morning." You need to look in the car they drive and see what they're doing, smoking and drinking. "Well, I can't do nothing with him. He's 13. I wouldn't tell nobody I was that crazy. I'm in a big old brogan looking something like you and can't whoop a 10-year-old. My God in heaven. You need to see me after service. I'll teach you some 101. It's pretty easy to just beat the brakes off of them. I don't like that. I can tell looking at you, you don't like that. That's why we need your seat down here. You little liberal sissy. Raise you a little heathen. Don't teach them to respect authority. Filling the penitentiaries up with Baptist kids because you ain't taught them authority. They say no, smack them down. They get back up, say no again, smack him back down. You little sissy looking rascal. You'll hit your wife but won't hit your kid. You little yellow polecat. Won't you come hit a real man? I can see what you can do with a woman. See what you can do with a full grown boy. Boys hit back. Alright, I'm not leading you to fight. I'm trying to lead you to love. You need some grit in you. Your 6-year-old calling shots at your house. It's your fault. We not going to church today. Oh, we not. Yeah, we are. Get in the car. Yeah, we are. Get you hide in the car. I ain't going. Oh, you going. Oh, yeah, you going. You may not look real professional when you get there, but you going. What you think the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child mean? You ain't got to teach your young'uns to lie, steal, and cheat. You better be teaching them not to. I love what my daughter was telling a little girl the other night. She's in my study. She said, Livia, she said, what? Megan said, what'd you say? Ma'am. So you got to make them check in. I didn't feel good that I started all this. People of the race. Opportunities. Opposites. Opposition. The sin which does so easily beset us. I found this out with youth. Often it's passion and evil desire. With age, it's often frettiness and bitterness. Life presented you something that was ugly. Something went against your flesh and now you've turned your face toward God. He said, God, I'm bitter. Sins do so easily beset us. With the rich, I find out these sins are often pride and arrogancy and power. Look what I've done. Don't mess with me. Look what I got. Let me tell you what we got. We got us a bag of dirt. Without the grace of God, we wouldn't have a meal this evening. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand my mind. Never met many rich people that wasn't prideful. Arrogancy. Eat up with power. Scares me when rich people come to this church. And I'm trying to do better. I'm trying not to be crazy. But you let rich people come to church, you know what they're going to try to call the shots. I don't know many people, I don't know many rich people that's ever really knuckled down to authority. God has an order. He's a God of order. The order of the home. God, the husband, the wife, the children. He's got it in our land. The president, the governor. The local authorities. Same way in the church. You know why churches is in a mess? Because it's a Laodicean church age. It's democracy. God never had a church with democracy in the Bible. Show me where any New Testament church voted on anything. I tell you what they done. They trusted their leadership to guide them. And they submitted themselves under the authority of that man of God.
And if you don't submit to authority, you'll be out of bounds before long. You don't have to like the laws. I don't like 55 from the Georgia line to Anniston. You don't have to like the laws, but I've got to obey them. If I preach the rest of this, I'll be an hour. I done preached more now than you can contain. I want Sister Julie to come. I wanted us to play me a song this morning. Perhaps God will let me finish this tonight. But I do want to say this. The rich often are full of pride, arrogance, and power. The poor, Brother Dennis, listen. The poor, they're often poor mouthing. God, look at what I ain't got. Won't you look at what you do got? I preached somewhere the other week, and I was thinking this morning, you know, Miss Flo, a preacher, he tries to put something in him in the quiet time that he can give somebody that'll help him. Not hurt him, but help him. There's a young lady come to me the other night after revival service. She said, "Sir, I don't know you, but you've said something that's going to stay with me a long time." And that's what she said. "You said, the devil will never show me what I got. He just shows me what I ain't got." Brother Mike, he can't hardly show me nothing I ain't got because I got everything. God, I've got everything. I've got eternal life. I've got a Bible. What's your weight holding you back? And are you really running how you need to be running? But just a thought about this morning. The devil's walking. God's telling us to run. And I thought about this too. If I don't get in a hurry about serving this God, Brother Lee, that lets me know I'm fixing to miss some things He's got set up for me out yonder. How many times if you'd started out just to walk and to bow, and if you'd run to bow and you'd have caught a ride, but you miss what God had coming for you because you quit your running? Oh, you know what? I can get on a big old pity party. I can say, you know, I worked 25 years. A man stole stuff. I can say, you know, I've had to bury close family members. Had people walk out on me that I thought would go with me to my grave, Brother Troy. I thought they'd go to my grave. I can get an old bad attitude and look around. But you know what these things are going to do? They're going to keep me from running where God wants me to go. And the best thing I can do is quit looking around at people and go to look at how am I doing. Would y'all pray for your preacher? I'm dead serious. I want you to pray. Because you know, a lot of times I preach out of experience. And I want to take you to the right places according to this Word of God. Any of us can throw our fist up and fight it out. That's nature. That's natural. That's fleshly. He says, love your enemy. Love those that despitefully use you. Pray for them that you may be the children of the highest. Anybody can quit. Many have. How many families do you know in this ministry, 16 years, you that's been with me, how many families do you know that quit running the race and now look where they are? I wish I had an hour to finish this. Maybe I'll have it tonight. I've got something out there that's so big in me. But I want to stop right now and I want to cut this sermon off and I want to ask you this question. Open this off. What's keeping you from running the way you ought to be running? Would you come this morning?